This is Ed Brock, Associate Editor with American City and County Magazine, and I'm speaking to Joplin, Missouri Mayor Mike Wolston. Joplin was hit by a very major tornado in April, was it, Mayor?
Actually, it's May 22nd.
May 22nd. Because obviously the first question is, what is the status of rebuilding Joplin?
Well, actually, our status of rebuilding is, in my mind, a bit on the slow side at this point. We've gotten the majority of the debris cleaned up. We're working towards getting the demolition portion of the process completed. And the governor was in town just last night and committed to a $4 million community development block grant that will help us in that demolition process. However, the rebuilding process, we've got some homes going up, a fair number of commercial sites being rebuilt, but I think the home sites are a little bit more slow than I thought they might be. I think folks are kind of waiting to see a little bit what their neighbors do. They're still making the decision, do they want to build back on the lot that they currently own or buy a lot in another part of town, or waiting to see if the city makes any substantial, say, zoning changes or anything like that before they rebuild. So we're working our way through that process. A committee has been named locally of about 30 people to help in the planning process and take input from the public and bring that forward as an advisory committee to the city council so that we might build back in a manner that everyone agrees upon.
Right. Now, I was told, we heard just about a month or so ago, or earlier this month, I think, about these rumors that after Hurricane Irene, some of the federal money that was supposed to go to Joplin was either frozen or being delayed, but I've been told that that was not the case. Could you tell me what is that
sure.
situation?
That didn't impact us because FEMA was getting toward the end of their fiscal year. Their available money that had been allotted was dwindling down to a minor amount, mm-hmm. and so they moved some long-term recovery monies over to utilizing for their short-term needs to address Hurricane Irene, and as soon as the Congress passes a new budget, those long-term funds will be recovered, so that Joplin's not at a point yet where we're utilizing those long-term funds. So the funds were pulled away for a bit, but will be restored well before that. We're at a point where we need to utilize those.
Okay, great.
So the bottom line is, should have no impact on us at all.
Good. Okay. A lot of cities that have kind of gone through similar incidences. We have Greensburg, Kansas, and of course Tuscaloosa, after such a sweeping disaster, they do things differently a little bit. Is there anything that's going to be different about Joplin after it recovers? Anything you guys are going to change about the city?
In terms of the physical sense, I think you probably will see some change. Obviously, we're going to have a lot of homes and buildings that are newer rather than older, but the city will still continue to look at and work towards that planning process that I mentioned a little earlier and try to bring forward ideas and things that the citizens want to see. But I think the biggest change that maybe was here before but was somewhat underlying that we didn't realize was the sense of community that there is here. Right after the storm, you saw people out helping their family, which you might expect. They were helping their friends and neighbors, which you also might expect to some extent. But there were people helping complete strangers, taking people in because they didn't have a place to go. And so the way people have volunteered to help each other here, the volunteers that have come into the community from all over the country to help us out, I think has really developed and highlighted the sense of community we have here. We're not just a city. It's a community of people that cares about one another.
Right. What about any kind of new building codes or anything like that, or were the houses all, as up to code as they could possibly be?
Sure. Well, a lot of the houses that we lost were homes that had been built 40, 50, 60 years ago, and obviously the codes were somewhat less stringent then than they are now. Mm-hmm. One of the changes that we made immediately after the storm was that for residential construction, we now require hurricane straps and increased number of anchor bolts in the floor sills around the foundation. Anchor bolts used to be required every 6 feet. We now require those every 3 feet, being concreted into the foundation. And again, hurricane straps on the attach the walls and the roof together to try to hold those together a little bit more securely. One of the buildings that survived is a brand new building going up. Wasn't even completed yet. One of the buildings that survived the storm quite well was one that the owner had built on his own with hurricane straps and closed cell insulation. And he attributed the survival of his building to a large extent to those two features.
Right. Are there any specific lessons that you've learned through this event that maybe you could pass on to other cities when they are in a similar circumstance? Something that you've learned that you should be prepared for?
Well, probably the first thing I would suggest is to heed the warnings when you hear those tornado sirens. We have severe weather in this area a number of times throughout each summer season, and I think possibly a lot of our citizens, including me, have become somewhat jaded to hearing those hurricane sirens and didn't pay them much attention. I feel pretty comfortable in saying now that in the future, for the next couple of years, when people around here hear those tornado sirens go off, they will seek shelter. The other thing I guess I would say in what I've seen is just don't underestimate the resiliency of your community. As I said, within probably 48 hours, less than 48 hours after the event, I saw people here out digging through their destroyed homes looking for personal mementos or personal effects, sentimental items, anything, clothing, things like that they could salvage. And within 96 or less than 96 hours after the event, I saw people out rebuilding. And so if someone had described an event like this to me 6 months ago, I would probably at that point have underestimated our community's drive to recover. And I've just been amazed at the way that this community has pushed forward. They have appreciated any help that has come, but they've not waited on the help to get started on cleaning up and rebuilding. And that makes me very proud of the entire community.
Right. And do you have any idea how much the total cost will be to the city and to the community from this?
We estimate, and these figures are probably a month or 6 weeks old, we estimate that at that point it was about $11 million. In direct costs, we were fearful that we will lose about $6 million in revenue because with certain homes not being there, property taxes, franchise taxes, all those kinds of things, some degree of sales tax, about $6 million in less revenue than we would under ordinary circumstances. However, that was prior to the governor's commitment last night of the $4 million community development block grant funds, and so that will help offset that loss to some extent in terms of people having to pay for demolition of their destroyed homes, those kinds of things, because there's not a great deal of FEMA assistance available for that. So that will help defray that cost, maybe not directly to the $11 million, but as I said, about $11 million is what we've calculated at this point.
And I was next question was what is the city going to do to help mitigate that loss? But one of them, obviously, is, like you said, the block grant.
Sure. In addition to that, we've had a huge number of volunteers in the debris cleanup arena. People could come in and help and just pick up debris, and that was not difficult. Didn't take a great deal of skill, just a lot of hard work. On the demolition side, we do have assistance available for residents that is free. It is a group who routinely comes into disaster areas like this, and they have skilled people that will come in and help do the demolition so that the people that are doing it know what they're doing, less risk that they're going to get injured or hurt or something like that. So we do have that assistance available for people. They just need to sign a form, basically, that allows these folks to come onto their property to do that demolition work, and that, again, that is free of charge.
What's the name of that group?
It's a Mennonite group that's going to do it. At least that's one of the groups that's going to help us with that. There may be others, but that's the one that I do know about right now.
Mennonite Disaster Services. Let's see that.
Correct. I think that's correct, yes.
Okay. Well, I think that's it. So I wish you the best of luck, and thank you for talking, Ray.
Thank you, Ed.
Okay. And